I'm from Washington, D.C., and Harry Truman said about Washington, D.C., if you want a friend in Washington, D.C., bring a dog. It's a tough town. It's a tough town. And it's a tough town, I think, because it is in many ways a crossroads of America. It's a place where everybody you meet is a valedictorian. It's a place where all the great battles and the great ideas of our day come to be hashed out. And standing at that crossroads for the past year, I have come to realize a sad truth about our world. We are at war. We are at war. I speak not simply of the war in Iraq. I speak about the war that's going on within our culture, within our world today. The divide between left and right, and any contrast you want to say, whether it's political, whether it's ideological, whether it's religious. I got dressed up in the religious thing today, so we're going to talk about that. And I believe it is a fundamentally spiritual thing that we are undergoing in this world. And an unequivocally spiritual divide in which we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are being called to bridge. Are being called to bridge. Standing at that crossroads and watching the vitriol that is slopped back and forth. And you've seen it. You've seen it. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. This divide between left and right, and even this divide between center about people who I don't want to get hit with a rock! And just this divide that we live in today. This scripture passage from Luke speaks of us having, it speaks of the disciples getting full of themselves, as the disciples like to do, and saying, increase our faith! We want to be better. And God, Jesus, saying to them, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to that tree, the mulberry tree, and throw it into the sea. The correspondence of a mulberry tree is about our own internal thought lies that we tell ourselves. And often about our own vindication and rightness. You know, there's the old adage that you can be right or you can be happy. Pick one. Well, we, brothers and sisters, are deeply in the mode in our religious world of trying to be right. About trying to stand on the side of God, on whatever side that is. And thinking we are right. It harkens us back to that point of Abraham Lincoln where he says, the question is not whether God is on our side. The question is whether we are on God's side. And the core of this is that God is more interested in relationship than ideas. If the journey after life teaches us anything, it teaches us we're all going to school. We're all going to get an education about what real life is and what it really is on a deep and abiding way. We're going to get that. That's going to be clear. We all got that. And you know, and we're Americans, so Americans are great for this. You know, you have the door for heaven, and I really believe in the spiritual world there'll be the door for heaven, and there'll be the door for the lecture on heaven. And all of us will be lined up for the door and the lecture on heaven, because we're not really sure we want to go there until we've got it all figured out. And it's a heaven thing. I don't know. Does that come with 401k plan or something? I don't know. I'm not real sure. That's where I want to go. Our mulberry bush, that we are right, can root it deep. But it only takes, and the joy of this passage is that it says, it only takes a tiny bit of faith. A tiny bit of faith. Just a mustard seed size. For God to remove it from our life and cast it into hell itself. Cast it out of ourselves. Move ourselves from that point. From that point where we would stand to be right versus being happy. The great Islamic mystic Rumi said there is a field beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing. I will meet you there. We are here on Worldwide Communion Sunday to be a part of something larger than us. All over the world today, people will take communion. And you know what? You know what? This is the kicker. You're going to take communion today with people you disagree with. You're going to take with people with ideas that you would run screaming from the room about what faith looks like, about what God looks like. You are going to take communion today with people who do not share fundamental ideas about God that you share. It's going to happen. But the bottom line, the love beyond loves, the love underneath, the love we are called to serve, that servant that comes in from the field that Jesus speaks of, and that parable that says, would you just let the servant eat or would it serve yourself? It's easy, comparatively, I think, to be passionate about the things we care about. To be passionate, if it's social justice, to be passionate about social justice. If it's changing the world, to be passionate about changing the world. It's harder to try and be in communion with people you don't like. That's harder. It's a lot harder. It's really tough to come into communion and to be with people in relationship who are just like us, trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing and trying to figure out how we follow this guy and this man and this God. How we step into that place. And we have that in common before we have all else in common. And we have that at our core before we have all else at our core. And so that we serve ourselves at home. Serve ourselves at home. You know, Swedenborgians are famous for this. We are famous for, well, we were the first people that brought Buddhism to America. We are the first, we wear that badge proudly. Buddhism was never brought forward into America in a formal way before, until we did it. We should be very proud about that. However, playing with our brother and sister Presbyterians or Methodists or anything else is we're not so good at. Or conservative evangelicals. I'm going to tell you a story about the last time I was in. I went to a workshop at the cathedral in Washington, D.C. Here we are in the nave of Washington, D.C. to hear some of the best theological minds around. Marcus Borg, Phyllis Tickle, people who are just kind of rock stars in the theological world. And here I am amongst a bunch of Episcopalians. And these Episcopalians are in a dogfight with each other. And I show up late because I'm new to D.C. and I got lost. And there's one table, one chair at this table. And so I sit down. And it ends up I'm sitting with the First Church of Kansas Methodist, First Church Methodist, Wichita, Kansas. Let me get that right. And I'm looking around for an empty seat at the Methodist at the Episcopalian's table. I'm like, I got a lot more in common with those folks than I got with folks from Kansas. Hardcore Methodist folks from Kansas. This is going to be an interesting conversation. And you know what? It was. It really was. It was because they showed up. They showed up with a desire to be in dialogue. And they showed up with a desire to talk. And they showed up with a desire to try and follow this God guy. To like in Lamentations, that last passage of Lamentations where it talks about and says, they remember the sweetness of old. They remember the time when we were together. You see, Phyllis Tickle says there are 27,000 different, I don't know if she's right on this, says there's 27,000 different expressions of Christianity in the world. 27,000. I believe her. And part of the lecture that she gave was a cry about how, oh, isn't it awful that there are that the tower is so divided and that we can't get together and that we're so, all these different expressions. And I say, my God, isn't it wonderful? There are 27,000 different ways to come into relationship with the Christ. And every one of them has something to teach me about how to do that. So every one of them has something to offer me as a gift about what it is to, you know, to follow and to walk this path. Every one of them has something to offer us. Every one of them a piece of, in the mosaic of what it is to be Christian and to be a part of this grand whole. We are in a war. There is a battlefront going on. My hope is for all of you is that we in this place can remember back to that day, back beyond the vitriol, beyond the destruction, beyond the broadcasting, and we can remember that place when we stand together for Christ. And so the next time somebody asks you if you've taken Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, have a conversation with them. Talk to them. Find out what their faith is about. And dare, if you will, share your faith with them. And share what that means for you. You may not have the conversation. They may not be willing. But the change in us. You see, remember the disciples? You remember what they were asking? Increase our faith. Make us more spiritual. Make us closer to you. In our walk, in this celebration of Worldwide Communion Sunday, in this time that we will spend, that we spend together, and in the going forth from that, I want to empower you. I want to invite you to have a conversation with somebody you disagree with. To step into that place so that you might be transformed. So that God might take that mulberry bush by the roots and throw it into the sea. That you might dare to express what it is your love in this world is. That you might dare to serve at home and to be truly dutiful in the Holy of Holies and in the place of place, your faith, your tradition, your love, your gift. As we come forward to do this, as we have said, thousands of people all over this world will be taking communion. Thousands of people will be coming together and breaking bread. Many of them you will disagree with. Many of them you will not find them in your communion. But to know, in the depth of the love of loves, in the depth of the faith of faiths, in the depth we come to know what true faith is. Because you know, you ever had that experience where somebody just says, you're going through something hard, and somebody says, oh, have faith. Faith. You know what it is to have faith? Swedenborg tells us that faith is a deep and abiding desire to come into relationship with what is good and what is true. Not out of the desire for doctrine. Not out of orthodoxy. Not so that we can be right. But out of a desire for orthopraxy. Desire that we may live our lives well. And that is what this meal is all about. It is the purpose that in the evening Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body. In the same way he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me.
There is something in us that remembers God. Because we're made in God's image. There is something in us that remembers God and remembers love. God has given us so many ways of remembering this remembrance. And one very special way He's given us is Holy Communion. He's given us this bread. This love. That we might open our hearts and find ourselves remembering God and walking amid all our differences along one path of love. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus says, open your hearts to my love, and you will not hunger.
Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin, that we may come to know, beyond our understanding, beyond our ability to believe in our own goodness, that we are good beyond measure. Beyond our belief in our love beyond measure, we come to know the truth of our created self in the image of God as a child of God. And so now, come and take forward the truth of God. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me.